And it's been exciting. And I want to say that the Lord is still fresh in me, just as the very day that I was called to pastor here. So we're going to be concluding our series on stewardship titled Generosity During Tough Times. One of the things that I have noticed in my study of the scriptures, God does some pretty amazing things when times are tough. In fact, he often chooses those tough times to do the most miraculous things in his kingdom. Now, there's some great truths that we have learned, and I know there's some great truths that some of us have revisited, but one of those truths is, I think, the one takeaway I want us to have through this series, which we'll conclude today, is this. Generosity started with God. He is the originator of it, isn't he? It started with him, and I used the word past tense started there. It had an ED on it, but it doesn't just mean he was generous in the past. Now, God's generous with us today. We have a wonderful place to worship in. Hopefully most of us have opportunities to serve him and to work and provide for our families. He is generous today, and there's going to be a glorious day that all the goodness that we've known in this life will pale in comparison to the generosity and the graciousness that we will experience throughout eternity. Today, his generosity is with us, but his generosity will endure forever and ever. I also learned that there's a methodology behind our being generous. God is generous. He has a desire for us to be generous. If you remember, at the very start of this series, we looked at 1 Timothy 6 chapter, verses 17 through 19, and we're not going to read those verses today, but I hope this is something that you are taking away as well, and that's this, these three things that center on generosity. Generosity starts with you and I right now. We need to be generous wherever we're at in our life right now, today. Second thing, we need to do good with what we have right now. Don't worry about tomorrow, what you might have in the future. Do good with what you have right now. And ultimately, we need to remember that when we are generous, we show what really matters in eternity. We're showing that there's something greater than just the here and now. So today, I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Let's read. Paul wrote these words in AD 64 when Nero was the emperor of Rome. I want to read these to you today. He says this, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us," he's talking about all of us together, "lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And I love verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." The cross was not a pleasant experience. "Despising the shame, he has sat down on the right hand of the Lord of the throne of God." And may God bless the reading of his word today. It was in AD 64 that history records that Nero was the selfish, undisciplined, out-of-shape emperor that decided that he wanted to enter the Olympics. So Nero went to Greece. He forced himself on the Olympic committee, and he became an Olympian. No practice, no preparation, just decided he was going to be an Olympian. So Nero didn't do anything really physical, but he did decide that he was going to get into a chariot race. And as the race started, he got about a few hundred yards into the race, he fell out of the chariot. He got back in, and history records that he never finished the race. But because he was the emperor of Rome, they crowned him as the Olympic champion. So as he journeyed back from Greece to Rome, there was this entourage that followed him, and they were clapping their hands and saying, "Wonderful, wonderful." And all the time, everyone doing that and everyone that saw him knew this. He was a fake. He was a fraud. He was a phony. Well, why? Well, because he didn't finish the race. Because he didn't finish the race. When the Holy Spirit prompted these words, I believe from the human penman, possibly Paul, he was addressing the problem of starting something and not finishing something. We need to start what we finished. And really, there's something more to it than that. There's another thing I want to add to it as well. He was also addressing the issue of not doing what is necessary to participate in the race. To be in the race, you have to take the time to prepare for the race. Now, can I go back a few years? Can I go back as possibly, I guess I'm 51, we're going to talk 43 years ago. That's older than a lot of you are here today. But I got a wonderful life lesson that stuck with me. You see, there was this kid that lived up the street from me. His name was Steve. And he was on the same baseball team that I was. And at the same age, he was a foot taller than everybody else on the team. And he was some 20 to 25 pounds heavier. And he was a tremendous athlete. He was a good player. But somehow he got in his mind that he didn't need to practice. So what did he do? Well, he didn't practice. Never showed up to a practice, ever. And when the first game came, you know what happened? Well, Steve didn't get to play. He didn't get in the game. And I can remember his mother just as vividly as I was, if I went back 43 years and was standing there on that little field in Cheviot, Ohio, I remember the mom up in his face, in his case, why isn't my son playing? Why isn't my son in this game? He's the best player on the team. The coach's reply was this, no practice, no play. That's a lesson that has stuck with me. Now, here's what I know about races. Here's what I know about sports in general. They are completed and they are won simply by two disciplines that we need to have today. So I've asked Dwayne and Nicholas, they're going to be helping me here this morning. So guys, go ahead. I brought some items out that we're going to talk about, systematic ritual. That's one of the things that we need to compete in the race and to win the race. Systematic ritual, you could call it practice, you could call it legwork, you could call it groundwork, you could call it homework, you could call it not doing or doing the tough stuff. All right, he's got a table and he's got some props he's going to bring out as well with that. So this morning, I want to share with you something I did back all the way in September of 2007. Go ahead and put this on the screen. Go ahead and show, we'll come back to that screen. Now, do I look mad there? I want you to look at that picture. See, there's a girl behind me there. This is the final, like, 900 yards at the Air Force Marathon. I ran my first half marathon. And that girl was beating me, and there was no way that I was going to let her beat me, okay? So that's why I look a little angry there, okay? All right? I was putting the kick in, but I was not going to let some girl beat me. Nothing against... There was probably a few girls that beat me that day, but that particular girl was not going to. Now, I've run three in total, and I probably, Lord willing, may do another one maybe this year. Brenda and I are talking about that still yet. We haven't decided fully on that, but go ahead and go to the next screen as well. Now, today, I don't run as much as I used to, but I also brought something today that is my favorite really form of cardiovascular exercise. What is this, by the way? It's a bike, yeah. It is a bike, and it's Cannondale, and I really, really like this bike. I like this bike so much that I rode about 2,400 miles on it last year. That's how much I like this bike. And I pedaled all those, by the way. But I like that. It's fun. I have some friends that I ride with. Dave Lawrence is one. There's some other people here going to be picking up and riding with us as well. But here's something I understand. To be able to run, as I showed you on the screen, and I have my running shoes here this morning. I ran at the Y this past week. One day I did 7 miles on the treadmill in these shoes. I don't know, they look like it. They sort of smell like it. And I also have my backpack here. This is actually my athletic bag. And I've got headphones in there and different things, water bottles and some snacks that I take up to the Y with me to be able to have some fun up there at the Y. But here's what I understand. To be able, whether we're talking about the bike or whether we're talking about running or any sport that you want to think about, to be able to do those things, you've got to do the systematic ritual and you got to have the proper perspective. Now, what's the proper perspective for me? Well, in that race I showed you, there's no way that I was going to win that race, Kenny. I may have beat that girl that morning, but the proper perspective was this. You know, I'm still an old man. And that was pre-heart attack, by the way, that picture this morning that I showed you. You know, I've had a heart attack since then. Proper perspective says, I'm not going to beat Lance Armstrong on that bike, and I won't beat Dave Lawrence. Dave Lawrence is amazing on the bike. And when we get on hills, he's just unbelievable. He just takes off and just carries away. That's my proper perspective. But also in that proper perspective, I know this, that I can still have fun. I still can participate. So there's two things I need to have in our life. To be able to do those things today, I wanted to show you some things. Okay? Does anybody know what those are? Huh? Well, here's oatmeal, Bob's Red Mills Oaks. Here is pecans. Here's walnuts and almonds, okay? Now, why do I put these things out here? And here's beans. Okay? Also, I have to take care of what I put in myself. You know, these things make a difference in my life, by the way. My cholesterol, Kenny, has improved drastically since I went on this nut thing. And somebody says, well, nuts are very expensive. I've heard that. You know what an ounce of nuts cost? It's less than 90 cents. Now, you go buy a bag of potato chips at the gas station. What are they, $1.25? And I guarantee you these nuts are a lot better for you. If I don't follow through with these things right here, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do the running thing that I showed you earlier. And it goes even beyond that, because here's some things that I have to do that I really don't care to do. This is my medicine this morning. I got my medicine cabinet here. This is Lipitor right here. I have to take Lipitor because I have an imbalance in my cholesterol. I have a poor ratio. So I take a Lipitor, and then I take niacin to help boost my good cholesterol. And then I have some Plavix that keeps my blood thin. And I also have to keep nitroglycerin in my pocket. Doctor said I may not need it, but it's a good luck charm. Keep it on you anyway. See, these are the things that I have to do to be able to do this stuff here. That's what I'm trying to stress this morning. If I don't do these things, I may run for a little while, I may bike for a little while, but somewhere it's not going to work out so well for me. You know, it takes systematic ritual for us to do anything great, really. It has to happen on a regular basis in our life. Talk about if you're going to school. It's day in, it's day out. On a regular basis, you have to do your studies, you have to produce your homework, you have to produce the things that are needed to pass the grade. Proper perspective is this: you never stop learning. Let's consider a marriage this morning. If you're talking about your marriage, systematically, ritual in that looks to me like this. We have to submit ourselves one to the other. The proper perspective is your spouse's needs are more important than your own needs. Well, let's take it to the level that I really want to get at this morning. Let's talk about systematic ritual and proper perspective here at this church. It's helped us to run the race. What do you mean by that? Well, by systematic ritual, we give on a regular basis. And what's the proper perspective? Well, the proper perspective is this: what we give is already his. So look back down at your Bibles, and I hope you have your Bibles with you today. Look at that 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2. And I want to talk to you today about going beyond and above what we are already doing. Now, again, it says this, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame that was set, and then set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now, the literal translation of verse 2 might sound something like this: fixing our eyes on Jesus, the originator and the completer of our faith. There's one reason and one reason alone that we are here. There's only one reason that we are in the race today, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he endured the cross because he knew one day that it will bring joy. Now, why do I take these things here? Because I know that it's going to provide joy in my life. Here in our church life as well, there's some things that might seem painful. Some of you think about nuts and you think, well, I'd rather have a bag of chips. Or some of you think, well, you got to take medicine. This is expensive, but I have to do these things. If I don't do these things, then I can't do the things that I really love. And let's just flesh this out. If we don't do the things that are necessary within the church to provide for the church, then we don't get to do the fun stuff. Amen or oh me. Hebrew writer uses the word endurance. Of course, not the Hebrew writer, but the translator in the New King James Bible. And here's what I found about endurance: the ability to bear up prolonged hardships. Title of our series, Generosity During Tough Times. Toleration of hardships. Persistence over time. I think all three of those elements are what are needed not only to run a race, to succeed in what we're called to do as a church. We need to have the ability to bear up under prolonged hardship. Now, we've seen that over the course of time. We need a toleration of hardship. We need a persistence over time. Races require sacrifice, and so does giving our gifts to this church. I know that for a fact. See, over the years, many families in this fellowship were willing to bear up. They were willing to be persistent when it came to giving over and above their tithes. When I first came here, Thad, this church was in a building program. And it was in a capital stewardship program at that time. And some of you that have been longer here than I have, you may remember some of those things. Oh, no man, nothing. I see you shaking your head, Beth. You remember that. Building to Reach Children, BTRC, is what I think he had an acronym for. And immediately the pastor, when I came here, that was one of the things that he talked to me about. This is what we're doing here. Here's how you can be involved over and above. And what we see around us is that people were willing to sacrifice some of the luxuries of the here and now for a better place of worship. This sanctuary built during interest rates of 22%. Wouldn't you like to earn 22 points on your money? If you're getting a percent at the bank, you've done something. 22%. But yet God called them to build. And I remember descriptions of people giving up meals out, people giving up newspapers, just everything, nickel and diming it together to be a part of it. Paul and Vivian, you probably remember those things because I remember looking through some of the stuff. You guys were chairmen on one of those, maybe a couple of those programs that I talked about. Giving up something to be able to do some of the fun stuff. Now look back at that verse. He uses this phrase, seeing this great crowd of witness. Friend, we don't have to look any further than just around us to realize God's used some people around us to sacrifice. Their sacrifices in those days past have provided for us to have a wonderful opportunity to sit in this sanctuary today and to go on the mission field and do all the things that we do as a church. See, it's just not about the sanctuary. It's just not about the Sunday morning services. It talks about laying aside every weight and sin that easily ensnares us. Take an inventory of our lives and set aside things that would hinder us. I remember when I ran that first race, there was just an unbelievable feeling there. Patrick and I wound up there starting pretty early, and we had to tool around, and it was 48 degrees in the weather that morning. 48 degrees. And there were people that had on jumpsuits, running suits, extra mitts and gloves and things. And when they fired that gun off, there was just people broke across that line. We all were running across that line. And when you got about a mile or two into it, you started noticing this hat over the side. You started noticing these gloves over the side. You started seeing people lose their jackets, lose their sweatpants. Why? They were laying aside the things that really didn't matter. They needed them for a moment, and they utilized them for a moment, and then they put them aside and didn't need them. And I know this is true. In our life, there's probably some things that all of us could probably do without, that we could lay aside for a greater glory to be revealed in God's house. As I said, man, this is as passionate to me as anything else in the scripture. Lay aside some things. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Nero started something. He couldn't finish it. It was a laugh, a joke. Here we are several thousand years later, laughing at the debauchery of him calling himself an Olympian. We need to finish what we started. We need to work through the pain and keep our eyes on Jesus, who's the originator and the completer of our faith. So today, I want to talk to you about going over and above what you normally do in your gifts to this church. See, this is a new capital campaign that I'm hoping and praying that everyone's going to be involved with. Today, at the conclusion of the service, you will have an envelope with your name on it. Where's my greeter at? You're going to be back there, and there'll be some alphabetical things out there. I already have Brendan R's. But pick this up. You'll save us the 45. Is it 45 cents now for postage? Pick this up. It has a letter in it explaining what we're going to do. I'm going to talk about what we're going to do. This is important because we're talking about worship. We're talking about doing the things that need to be done here in this church to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And not only that, but to teach ourselves, to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you pick up your envelope today, or you'll force us to have to mail it to you. So what is running the race? Well, we have put this acronym up there, RTR. So let's all say that together. RTR. Now, it's just three simple letters. I want us to remember that, because it's running the race. I want to talk to us about doing some of the tough stuff that we need to do to be able to do the fun stuff. So what is running the race? Well, it's a way for everyone to be involved in giving, that we can maintain excellence here at this church in the ministries that God has entrusted to us. What's the goal of running the race? Well, the goal of it is that each member and each member and friend of the church will establish something above and beyond what they normally do. If you have a weekly amount or a monthly amount that you give, here's what I'm asking you to do. Go above that amount that will specifically be addressed to a certain area that I'm going to talk to here in a few brief minutes. The goal of the campaign is simply everyone be involved. You're giving on a regular basis? Thank you very much. I'm asking you to go beyond what you're doing right now. And if you're not giving on a regular basis, part of this series is establishing that amount, getting to where you can give and be joyful about it, do this tough stuff, and see how God provides over that. So starting next month, there's a commitment card in here. We're asking you to look at that commitment card, and we're going to start collecting them. There's going to be a couple boxes, one in this vestibule, one downstairs in the vestibule. And you fill that card out with the information on it, with the amount that you feel that God's leading you to. You pray about that. So let's talk about that. For April, from April this year all the way to October 2013, for 18 months, we're asking you to commit beyond what you're doing right now, over and above your Northern offerings. So why should you participate in this? You think, well, you know, we're making it, we're doing okay. Well, we are making it, and we are doing okay. But it will allow us to do even more. Keeping our outreach and discipleship and missions is part of who we do as a New Testament church. We need to do those things. God has called us to reach people. He's called us to teach people. And your gift, over and above your tithe, over and above your regular offering, makes this a reality. We need additional staff here. Amen? I mean, we really do. God's got a man and whoever, maybe a woman out there for us. I'm not going to limit it. And your gift over and above your tithe, over above your offering, allow us to get the right people in place here. Eliminates the need. If you give over and above your regular gift, it's going to eliminate the need and the monthly mortgage commitment that comes from our general budget. And we're working on getting the interest rate driven down on the loan. Brent, how far along are we on that? Okay. Well, we're working on that. And we're trying to get that accomplished. It'll save us some money that way. But listen, your offering over and above your regular offering will help with the payment of the debt reduction, payment and debt reduction of Family Life Center. So, here's the big question. Here's the sacrifice part. How much money do I need to give to be able to participate? Now, our youth can be involved with this, and our members who have dual incomes, whoever you are, you can be involved in this because there's no required amount that you're asked to give. What we have defined, and you will see in the letter this morning when you read this, is that there's a basic financial commitment of $7.50 a week. $7.50 a week. Now, how much does a meal at McDonald's cost? Somebody help me out. I don't go there anymore, by the way. Huh? $5, okay, all right. And if you supersize it, what do they charge for supersizing, by the way? $7.51. I tell you, nothing against McDonald's. I mean, I have some good friends that work for McDonald's and stuff, and Wendy's and all that happy stuff, but I don't go those places anymore. I just don't do that. One trip to the emergency room when they tell you you're a lucky man will do you in. At least it did me in. That was it for me. No more. $7.50. So for our youth, I bet some of our youth have $7.50 in their pocket right now. They may have 20. One of them's going like this. Yeah, he's got that. Can't you find somewhere in your household budget that you could give up $7.50 a week? Well, let's talk about reality here. Maybe some of us could give up 2 commitments a week. Or maybe we could give up 20. You know, I don't know where you're at in this, but you could do something of that nature. So on this envelope that you have, when you open it, you're going to see an outline of what a commitment looks like for a week, for biweekly, for a month, for a year, and for, obviously, 18 months. Is there a right or wrong way to give to this? If you feel compelled that you want to give a gift up front, do that. Write that down and then figure out, well, that commitment looks equals to 20 commitments, or that commitment looks like 10 commitments, you know. But we want to know where we're at. What we are praying about, what is on my prayer list, is that we receive 500 commitments. Now, here's what will happen. If we receive 500 commitments, what that means is this. There'll be $15,000 additional coming in every month. Now, how do we get there? Well, it's going to take somebody that's not doing something right now, say, okay, I'll do one commitment. It's going to take somebody that's not doing something right now above their tithe or their regular offering, saying, okay,
You know, Pastor, we've prayed about this. We can do 5. And incrementally, it will go up. We're going to have some thermometers out in the vestibule here downstairs. You'll be able to watch. Right now, it is at 0. A good chance it's going to go up 20 or 30 before the end of the service. It's going to keep going up. I want you to watch that, because as it grows up, as it grows, that reduces the amount that we're going to need out of our general budget. So if you're going to do this for one commitment for 18 months, that looks like $540 is what it looks like. If we reach the 500 commitments in the budget that we hope to breach, then what are we going to use the general budget needs for? Well, if enough commitments come out of that, then we will eliminate the need out of the general budget for this, and the mortgage commitment, we'll try to work and pay on that as well, in addition to that. Now, here's a question that needs to be answered this morning. What have I already give to Mission Possible? And some of you do today. I do. Well, starting in April, if you already give to that, I want to say thank you. God bless you. What we're asking you to do is to continue on with that. Continue on with your existing pledge and pray about how God can utilize you more in this next program. But I want you to sign up on this new program that we're talking about this morning. Sign a new pledge card, a new commitment card, and you get involved in this and put it in the proper places that it needs to get to, and we'll see how the Lord blesses in that. Question: does anybody know how much I'm going to be contributing? The answer to that is no. Just you and God and the recording person that will record these numbers that will not share with anybody. We're going to share we have 100 commitments. We're going to share we have hopefully 500 commitments. But how we get there will not be common knowledge outside the person that is recording it and God. So as the pastor, I'm not going to know that, let's take somebody for an example, Thad, as the pastor, I won't know that you're giving 500 commitments. All right. You would be correct in assuming, by the way, that every dollar that's received in RTR will be going to meet the monthly mortgage commitment that we have, the obligation we have on our note. And as I spoke with Brent, we haven't got to talk this past week. We are working to try to get that term changed for the better for the church. I had a very favorable conversation with North American Mission Board a couple weeks ago, so they were getting some actuaries off to them to get some things squared away with them as I speak right now. So when you receive the commitment form, when you open your envelope, don't fill it out till you've prayed about it. Lord, how do you want me to do this? You know, I said last week, I was ready to give my gift to the van, and then before I left the house that morning, the Lord said, that's not enough. So I added to it. I did what the Lord told me to do, because I'd much rather please him than please myself. So starting in April, when you get your tithing envelope, and I have my tithing envelope, and I have my checkbook and pledge card here today, you take your tithing envelope, your offering envelope, and where it says building campaign, just check that off. And the amount that you're giving there. And if you're already involved with Mission Possible, again, thank you. But take that amount and put it over into this next program that I believe is going to be a great blessing to this church. So, let's close up with these thoughts here today. Proper perspective. As we look at this table with all the things that I've put out there, and there's a couple things I didn't put out there. By the way, I no longer do regular oil. I do olive oil, okay? Olive oil is good stuff. Will help you. So I use olive oil. And so I look at this table. Those are the necessity things that I have to do. Well, today, here is my checkbook. Most everybody here probably has a checkbook. Here are my envelopes. here is my pledge card that Brendan and I will fill out very shortly here. I have to do these things. They're the things that I've got to do to be able to do the fun stuff. Because it is fun, isn't it? Isn't it fun to worship? I appreciate, man, the choir sounded great this morning as they do every Sunday. I appreciate the hard work that, you know, everybody's putting into it. The classes, all the different ministries that are going on. But if we show up here and there's only a few of us doing the tough stuff, I mean putting in your offering, taking care of business like you should take care of business, it's not going to last. It's not going to hold up. And as a pastor, I know this. If everybody does what they can do, not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice, it's never a problem. It's never an issue when you need to find the staff person, when you need to go after this vehicle, when you need to have something done to the roof or anything else. So today the challenge is let's do the tough stuff that we need to do. People, we've got a great cloud of witness around us. People that have went on to glory, that have done what I've showed you right here today. And that's allowing us to do what we do today. And I think every one of those persons would tell you they were glad they had the opportunity to do it. So here's what needs to happen. And listen to me very carefully. Everyone contributing on a regular basis. Amen? All of us. And the second thing, everyone joining in to make a special gift to RTR. So, let me give you today's takeaways. Today's takeaways are just simply this. We all need systematic ritual. What I've showed you today, for us to move ahead in our personal lives, for us to move ahead in our spiritual lives, we need to do the good behaviors that are going to produce good things in our life. And we need to have the proper perspective, and that is this. We are not alone in this race. Don't worry about if so-and-so is not doing something. Somebody else will be doing something. We're not alone in this race. And ultimately, Jesus is the only reason that we're doing what we're doing today. Don't give money to this church because you might potentially think that I'm a good pastor. Don't do that. We don't need your gift like that. You give because you feel Jesus is compelling you to give. You're not giving it to myself. You're not giving it to Matt. You're not giving it to a board of elders here, a board of deacons, or anything else. You're giving it to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finish of our faith. And we need the foundational things in our life, because without them, we're not going to be able to do the fun things. Okay, I'm going to ask y'all to stand at this time. Would you bow with me in prayer today? Now, Father, we love you. And Lord, we know that you first loved us. And your generosity to us, we can't even get our minds around it, just as Dwayne said this morning. You first loved us. You provided for us in ways that we could never, ever begin to provide for ourselves. Through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternity that will be blessed, that will be wonderful, that will be without description in this life. Our best day on earth, our happiest moment, will really pale in comparison to what we will experience, what we will enjoy in heaven. That's your graciousness toward us. And Lord, you simply have called us to be generous to you and to others and to your church. And so, Father, I pray today that this will not be perceived as a money message, because it's not. It's a message about obedience, trusting you, doing the things that are necessary to be able to do the fun things that you've called us to do. So I praise you for everyone's attention today. I pray for every mind and heart as they look through this letter, as they go through this program and have these hopefully potentially good questions, have answers to those questions given in that letter that I briefly touched on this morning, that they're going to understand some things. And Lord, you'll compel them to do something miraculous with what you've given them. It may not be much in the world's eyes, but every dollar does count. And I thank you for that. Lord, I also know in a congregation of this size, there may be those who are not in the kingdom. A very real possibility. And so today, Father, I pray that you'll draw them with cords of love. That, Lord, for them to be able to participate in your kingdom, they got to do the necessary groundwork. They got to repent, and they have to turn from their sin in faith toward your Son. And so, Father, I pray that that will be accomplished today. We love your word, and we know that it will never return void, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.